The night is still. So too am I. I am a silent guardian, keeping vigil over the unmoving form of my beloved. She lays, enfolded in the embrace of death, for now. As the night surrenders to the day, she will sleep, her body making its transition from temporary to eternal. As the sun sets, she will awaken, and we shall be one. My senses stretch forth, searching for the first stirrings of her immortal life. The heartbeat that once filled my ears now lays silent. Her breath is still. But in this stillness, there is joy. There is anticipation of a new kind of life. One that, once begun, will never again be hindered by sickness, age, or death. Her life's blood clings to my lips like a kiss. A final warmth of her mortal existence heats my cheeks, and it flows through my body as a caress. We are intertwined, her mortality flowing through me as my immortality flows within her. My body seems to vibrate with a sensation I find difficult to express. After centuries spent in a lonely, barren wasteland, I feel as though I have entered a garden. Joy and hope have taken root in a heart that until now has only known anguish and solitude. And there they bloom, unfurling through my being. And soon, soon, I, who have witnessed the march of history, am finding an aching torment in the endless stretch of this one day. When one has waited so long to find peace, to finally have it within reach, even a moment feels like an eternity. Oh my love, what an impatient boy you have awakened in me. I look upon her face, so peaceful in this slumber, so beautiful. I graze my fingers along her cheek. Her skin holds a familiar chill. Oh, to have her. She is worth a thousand years of waiting. It won't be long now, my love. And it will suit you, this life you have chosen. You will know speed and strength and not be burdened by any human weakness. Any weakness you once knew. Though, as I recall, you never allowed your fragile mortality to hinder you even in the slightest. I remember the first time I laid eyes on you. You were so full of fire, fierce, brave, captivating. Such a delicate thing, but forged in steel. The night was gasping its last breath, in the throes of its final surrender to the morning. I moved unseen through the city, my body pulsing with the blood of my most recent kill. My eyes miss nothing, bright and focused with the thrill of the hunt I enjoy during the night. The fingertips of dawn had already begun to claw their way over the horizon, and the wind whipped and whistled around me as I moved with a speed no mortal eye could follow. Never one to believe in destiny, I don't know why her cry made me halt my hurried procession. The morning sun had just begun to burn away at the evening's mist, but the cobblestoned alleyway where I found myself was still clinging to the darkness of the night. Then, a flash of light caught my eye. A small blade clasped in the petite grip of an equally petite woman. She held a knife aloft, her eyes trained fiercely on the two menacing figures before her. It was clear they meant her harm, and while it was no concern of mine, I was intrigued. Women of the time, while not without their strengths, were quite delicate of constitution when it came to danger, to violence. And yet this one showed no fear in the face of what could likely be her end. The men loomed over her, so focused on their prey that they did not see me step from the shadows. The fading cloak of night clung to me as I attacked, the sound of cracking bones and tearing flesh echoing off the walls of the surrounding buildings as I dispatched them easily and without mercy. The last hint of moonlight glittered off the blood as it dripped thickly from my lips. And as the chaos gave away to silence, I cast a glance towards the open mouth of the alley, expecting to see the woman to have long since fled such a ghastly scene. And yet, there she was. Her body flattened against the wall, her hands locked in a vice-like grip around her blade, ready to lash out with it, should the occasion require. I beheld her, amused. I did not wipe her attacker's blood from my mouth, nor sheathe my fangs. I was every inch the monster when our eyes met. And she held my gaze, entirely afraid, but standing her ground. Such a fierce creature. How could I resist her? The next time our paths crossed, there was a decided shift in the dynamic of power. As it would appear, my colorful displays of murder and mischief among the criminal circuit had not gone unnoticed, and I had underestimated the ferocity in which humans will go to seek revenge. One night, as dawn approached, I was beset upon by a mob of thugs and thieves seeking to avenge their brethren that I had dispatched in the alleyway. Oh, but they were armed. Pitchforks and broomsticks had been sharpened into spears. Holy water, crosses, and every other weapon the fairy tales had suggested one might use to kill a monster found an eager hand to wield it. I was not afraid. I knew the dawn was approaching, and with its arrival, my power would be diminished. But I was arrogant. So I fought them. They fought back. Admirably, I must admit, raining blows on me and piercing my flesh with wooden stakes. The night air was filled with their enraged cries that eventually gave way to anguished screams as I tore them apart. The streets ran red with blood at night, most of it theirs, bodies littered the ground. I emerged victorious, but was gravely wounded. Their stakes had missed my heart, but their savage beating had left me bloodied and weak. Their attacks would not kill me. However, in my bloodlust, I had not noticed the morning sun making its ascent on the horizon. What a fool. How laughable my end was to come, not by the wounds of battle, but by my own hubris. I stumbled through the back roads, seeking shelter from the scorching light of day. My strength drained from me in the blood flow that followed as I made my way into a familiar alleyway. I was spent. I slumped to the ground, waiting for the daylight to hunt down the corner where I was hidden and rip away my cursed existence. But then, she appeared, standing in a doorway like an angel of mercy. Once again, our eyes met. Once again, she held my gaze. There I lay, covered in blood. And there she stood, prim and perfect, not a hair out of place. She knew what I was, and yet she did not pause at the sight of me, but rather leaned down to help me rise to my feet. I was astonished. Harboring a monster would certainly mean her head if we were discovered. And yet, that did not stop her from propping my staggering form against the door and draping me across her shoulders, dragging me with great difficulty into the shop she owned. It took us ages. My weight was almost more than she could bear, and I hadn't the strength to help her. The door swung closed behind us. She locked it and drew the curtains as we collapsed in a heap on the floor. She was an apothecary, and while her concoctions did almost nothing to heal my wounds, her kind ministrations did bring a small measure of relief. We passed the daylight hours in the comfortable darkness of her shop. I, licking my wounds in the shadows, and she, asking questions. She was bright, witty, a lover of knowledge. Her curiosity was limitless. As the hours wore on, we spoke of the monster I was and what my appetite required. She only hesitated for a moment before extending her delicate wrist to my lips. A life. For a life, she had said. Had I not been so weak, I would have laughed. The girl had more courage than 100 men. When the sun faded from the twilight sky, I found myself lingering in her presence. In all of my centuries, I had consumed an ocean of blood. Some came by force, some by seduction, but never in all of my years had it been provided as a gift. Despite my ravenous hunger, I sipped it gingerly from her. The gesture, stirring emotions my hollow heart had long since forgotten.
My love.
Sounds fade and focus only on my voice. Tarash number 40, my beloved Makhri. Open your eyes, I am here. You are not alone. You have returned to me, my love. I know it's overwhelming. As immortals, we feel everything more keenly. Each sensation more deeply. Sensations and emotions. Oh, Makhri. Tears? Makhri, I have not shed a tear in centuries. Have you changed my heart so much already? I feel as though my love for you will drown me. In your humanity, you took my breath away. As an immortal, I can scarcely look upon you, for the fear my heart might burst out from my chest in joy. Welcome to a new world. This is the beginning of our life together. A new life. But first you must drink. I want the first blood that sustains you to be from me. The gift you once offered yourself. On the floor of your shop. Do you remember? Of course you do. Drink. To share with you. I will tell you everything, Gokrod. Everything I know. Mm. we shall see the world in all of its splendor. Oh, Makusha. This is only the beginning. The beginning. There is so much I have to teach you. So much for you to learn, to experience. And we have all of eternity to walk side by side. We will face victories and hardships, but life will be all the sweeter. For we are forever bonded. I will enjoy seeing you grow in power and confidence. Some lessons will be difficult. However, tonight I will share with you the most intimate, the most pleasurable of our shared existence. That is, if you are willing. As you've already seen, we as immortals feel things so much more deeply. Something as simple as a kiss. Holds such exquisite pleasure. Every touch ignites our senses. And when we make love, we transcend fulfillment any human could dream of. Beyond the physical pleasure lies something even greater. Our bodies become one, our minds, our hearts become entwined. It's a union of souls. You become a part of me, and I become a part of you. My pleasure will become yours, your pleasure mine. We will be one, completely. So inseparable shall we be, that even once the physical act has ended, our consciousness will remain united. We will know each other in totality. You shall know my thoughts, and I will know yours. There will be no secrets, no lies between us. We will exist in perfect love and trust in our union. Over time, the connection will fade, but it is renewed every time our bodies come together. I would happily spend the remainder of my days enfolded in your embrace. Oh, my love, will you have me? By all the earth and stars, all of those nights when we connected in your dreams, I could have never imagined such a vision. You are perfect. Come to me, my love, into my embrace. Part your legs and wrap them around me. Cree-o-cree, heart to heart, breath to breath, completely entangled in one another. Feel me inside you, feeling you. I have never dared dream I would know such heaven as this. I need more of you. I need more of you. I would taste your blood. Feel your essence flowing into me. Drink, my love. Drink the wine. Drink your desire. Drink. Nothing shall separate us. I am yours, and you are mine. Mine. Makhri.
You are the most precious gift I could have ever hoped for. Ansha, Augustinish, here and now, I pledge my heart to thee, Manam Kuri.
You will never know a day where my love does not enfold you.
I will protect you, cherish you, and I will love you above my own life. My life, my store. I am yours.